just shall live by faith. The only way to live worry-free, listen, this is really a great statement. The only way to live worry-free, fear-free, and depression-free is to live by faith in Jesus Christ. What is there to fear? What is there to worry about? Why be depressed if you're totally trusting the Almighty, Eternal, Sovereign God to meet your needs? Isaiah 26:3 says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You can have perfect peace when your mind is totally focused on the Lord because you're trusting in him and not the arm of flesh. If our trust and faith is totally in the Lord and his word, we can have perfect peace and live worry-free. And I have to confess, I haven't reached that standard yet, but I'm working at it. Yay. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." There's automatic blessings for trusting God, and one of them is peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." Some translations accurately say, "Let not your heart be agitated. Let not the devil agitate your peace with little petty things." Today we want to look at this thought. "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." That is St. Paul's confession. That's how he lived. If St. Paul can live that way, I believe Barry Coverson has a possibility of reaching that. "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." This is a quote from St. Paul. Constant worry, fear, and depression is not living by faith. We must continue to trust in him no matter what we face. And as a preacher, I've always tried to be totally honest. Don and I was talking the other night, some preachers, they make you think they're totally perfect, never have any problems. And when they do have problems, they hide them. Yay. I decided a long time ago to be totally honest, 100%, because I don't want you to think I never have any problems and you're the only one that has any problems. We all have problems. Can you say amen? And we all have our struggles. And I have a difficult time, most of the time, really living worry-free. But I'm doing better now than I used to. Because the more you meditate on the scriptures, the more you keep your mind focused right on him and his word, inerrant, holy, sovereign word, the more you can have peace. With everything going around, I can walk around with peace and say, "With his stripes, I'm healed." People all around me got COVID and all kind of different flus and different diseases and all kind of things. And I'm saying, "With his stripes, I'm healed," walking right through the middle of them. We must continue to trust in him no matter what we face. John 3:16, you ever heard of that? That's a pretty good little verse. Probably every Christian in the universe has memorized that, but they don't really act like they believe it. "For God so greatly," and this is Amplified Bible. Now, I believe in all the translations. King James is still my favorite. The wording is a little more difficult because it was translated like in 1611 or something like that. English has changed, but it's still a very accurate version. But all translations is nothing but a translation. If you're not reading the Greek and the Hebrew, you're reading a translation. As good as the King James is, it's just another translation by man. Can you say amen? And all of them are. So I study all of them, and I pick, and I know just a tiny bit about Greek and Hebrew. So I go back, dig until I see which translation is the most accurate, and then that's the one I use. That's the way I determine what translation I'm using. "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only unique son, begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him will not perish or come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. You see, to make it to heaven, we must believe and trust in Jesus Christ with all our hearts. You can see that this means we must continue to believe, continue to trust, and continue to cling to Jesus Christ our whole lives. It's more than just believing in your head that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to put your total faith and trust in Him to the point that you cling to Him every day, all day, for the rest of your life. And when it says believe, it doesn't mean you believe on Him for 15 seconds or 15 minutes or 15 years. You believe on Him and cling to Him and rely on Him your whole life. That's what it means to live by faith. We must believe His promises for this life. So we can't just sit back and never read the Bible. If I'm going to believe God for something, I got to know I have a right to believe God for it. I have to find it in the Bible, like healing, for example. And when you really meditate upon the Word, when I'm praying, I'm talking to God, but when I'm reading His Bible, that's God talking to me, and very often He'll magnify Scripture, and that becomes my rhema word I live by. Like Matthew 8, 16, and 17. That Scripture is not floating around in my head somewhere. It's in my heart. And boy, when I quote it, I still have power coming from that anointed Word. Matthew 6, 31, do not worry then. Oh, who said that? Jesus. Well, I can't help it. Well, He said not to. We may want to ask Him to help us and not worry. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing, or what shall we do? Let's just look at it like this. I do not worry saying, what shall we do? Or where shall we go today? Or what career shall I pursue? I mean, why worry saying all of those things? Put your faith in Him and trust Him to show you where to go and direct your path. Can you say amen? Ask Him what career He wants you to do. And if you feel uneasy in your spirit, that you're no longer in the right place, don't worry about it. Ask Him to show you where you need to be and to open the door. And to help you get the training and the education you need to do it. Verse 33, Matthew 6, 33. But seek first His kingdom. This is the same Jesus that said, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Say, quit worrying about it. Put My kingdom first. Put My Word first. Be a doer of the Word first. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast, and I'll add everything else, including that career that you're praying for. Verse 33, and you know, I've lived this, and I've watched other people, and I can tell you, this is the way it works. If you really trust Him, He'll direct you in every area. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The just shall live by faith all their lives and shall not shrink back. You see, Matthew 6, 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. I want to show you how you get your rhema word, your no-so word, your revelation from God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not walking around in the dark. It's having a no-so in you that you're in the right place at the right time or going to the right place. Can you say amen? God called me and I to come to Knoxville. We prayed until we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, both of us, that this is where God wants us to be. He put a church in us. He put a no-so revelation in us that this is where He wants us. And after 42 years, that thing is just as strong and just as real today as it was 42 years ago. So I just keep going by that, living by that. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. Peter had a know so revelation faith that Jesus Christ was not just another man. He was the God-man. He was the Son of God, and he knew he was the Son of God. How did he know? Because Father God revealed it to his inner man, and it was a know-so revelation. That's how you really know things. You pray and seek God until the Father God reveals to you, the Holy Spirit reveals to you what his will is, or what he wants you to do, or what is his, like healing, what is his will for healing? Lord, is healing really for me? I didn't know healing was really for me. I sat under a crazy preacher that preached everything on the sun. But boy, when I got to Matthew 8:16, the Lord says, do you believe I'm still here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? Well, I didn't, but I saw it. I said, yes, I do. And I've been healed probably thousands of times since then of everything. But my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you, Peter. This is not just coming out of your head. Did y'all get that? This is really good. And it came straight from the lips of our Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, says Peter. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He may have just been a fisherman, had his foot in his mouth all the time, but God was revealing things to him, and that was changing him. This is divine insight and revelation, sight of a better kind. We can have a similar relationship or similar revelation about God's will, about God's healing, and about God's deliverance. You can have a know-so in you that God wants to heal you and totally restore you beginning right now. All revelations come from the Father by the working of the Holy Spirit. Every revelation I have, including come to Knoxville, came from the Holy Spirit. And he births it in me so I know that I know that I know. Not guessing. And so we must continue to believe his word and his personal revelations. But how do we get these revelations? Praying and fasting. If the Lord has given you one verse, giving you any revelations at all, you grab that thing and memorize it and stand on it and believe God for it. Somebody say amen. Matthew 24:12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And it seems to be that this is the generation that that's happening. Look at how many people ain't going to church that used to go. And every time you turn around, somebody else is dropping out. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. You can't be dropping out on Jesus. You got to be sure you don't drop out on Jesus. You might change churches, but even then, you better make sure you're in the will of God. You wind up in the wrong place, you're going to hear the wrong stuff. Alice testifies and says, it matters where you go to church. It matters where you go to church. Because you want to be in a place where the preacher's building your faith with the Word of God, not just beating you up and telling you what a dirty old sinner you are. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. There's no other choice. The just shall live by faith in the Son of God. And just like Peter you need to get your own revelation that he truly is the Son of God and trust him the rest of your life. Not just have faith, but live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. I mean, it's over and over in the Bible. Never throw away your faith because it is a revelation and word from God. Well, I thought that was God, but it's just not working. I'm going to give up on it. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. Be careful. If that was God's, you better not give up on it. You know, Dottie and I had that revelation of coming to this church, come to city and start this church. We've had plenty of opportunity to quit and leave. But that thing in me won't let me. Can you say never? And there's been a time or two I felt like what this church needed was another pastor. And so I was trying to find that other pastor, packing my bags, ready to get out of here. One time even had the kids enrolled in another school in another city. I mean, I was getting out of here. How many know if I'd left, that'd been the end of me? And it wrecked my family and everything else. Listen, you've got to make up your mind. If you get confused, pray through that confusion. And that's what I did. And I got back on track. And I realized that this has become a life sentence for me. I ain't getting out of here alive. Can you say amen? And so when you get in the will of God, I don't care how discouraged you get, until God says move, you stay right there and keep plowing. Keep on digging. Whatever you're doing, just keep on keeping on. Can you say amen? Keep on preaching. Whatever, just keep right on. Whatever God put you to do, keep right on. I run into people all the time. Well, I'm praying for God's will, and I can't hear anything. You know why you can't hear anything? Because he told you what to do, and you don't want to do it. You need to go back and do that. Amen. I don't know that, because I haven't done that. Okay, I'd have to go back and get right back in the traces right where he put me. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Never throw away your faith. Hebrews 10:35 says that. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. What's your confidence? You know, so faith in Revelation. It says, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. If you'll be patient and trust God, God will make that thing happen. We was in Ramada Inn for 4.5 years, but then look where God put us. If we hadn't been faithful those 4.5 years, we wouldn't be here. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. You got to stay right in the will of God, keep doing what God showed you to do, and then God will perform his wonders, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And sometimes it's that way with healing. It may be a long struggle because of the devil, not because of God. But you got like Daniel this morning, angels were fighting demons and devils to try to get an answer to Daniel. And so sometimes there's just things going on in the spirit realm you don't know about. So you just buckle down and stay faithful. Trust God. Keep believing for that healing. Never give up on that. Amen. Do what you can to help yourself, but never give up on God healing you. Amen. When we do not see the answer, we just stand in faith. Whoever believes, continues to believe in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith must endure hardship and deceiving spirits and liberal university professors trying to destroy the faith of our kids. We must know the word of God and stand on it no matter what. Verse 38, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Do not throw away your faith. If the Lord has done something for you, don't throw it away. Something for you during this fast, you stand on it and believe it no matter what. Several of you have told me God has worked miracles in you. And I guarantee the devil's going to try to do everything he can to talk you out of it. He's going to try to bring the symptoms back, the pain back, hoping you'll throw it away. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one way he does it is try to kill our faith. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. We persevere because he keeps his promises, and we know it. We just keep right on persevering, believing God and doing what we were told to do. When we trust in him and do his word, we can live in perfect peace. When I left home to go to seminary when I was 22 years old, my father really did abuse my mother. And as I got older, I let him know that wasn't going to be acceptable. And, we had some real serious confrontations. And finally he realized I meant business. And when I walked in, he'd go to his room, behave himself. And as I was leaving, I said, God, what's going to happen when I leave? I'm the oldest. I got brothers and sisters here. My mama. He said, you come follow me and I'll take care of your family. I've reminded him of that many times. And it really got bad when I left. But somehow God intervened and got that all worked out. There was two houses on the farm. Daddy moved into one. Mom lived in the other. They meet out in the yard, have a fight, go back in their houses. And Ronnie had to grow up and all that stuff. Ronnie was about 1 year old when I left. That's why it turned out so good. I went around to harass him and torment him. If I ever do say anything good about him, that's what I get. That's why I never say anything good about him. But boy, I reminded God of that so many times. That you promised me. And he's always taking care of him. And my mama. I'm sorry, Ronnie's mama. He thinks he's her favorite, but let him think it. And over the years, she's had some real issues. I personally laid hands on her and prayed for God. I prayed for her and God would heal her, work miracles in her instantly that she could see. It was God. And I was saying, God, you promised me you're going to take care of my mom. And she's 98 years old. Be 99 in March. Mom, I hope you're watching. I have to be really careful what I say. 98 or not, she'll still give me a whipping if I need it. Can you say amen? But I believe one of the reasons she's been as healthy as she's been all these years is because God made me a promise. And when he gives you a promise, it doesn't matter how bad it looks, you stand in faith and you believe that promise. Get you a word and live by it. Glory to God. Romans 4:20, Paul says, no unbelief or distrust made him, who's he talking about? Abraham. No unbelief or distrust made Abraham waver or doubtfully question concerning the promise of God. God promised him a son, and he also made the same promise to Sarah, his wife. And they both believed it. They did have their issues sometimes when they're up and down a little bit. The first time Sarah heard it, she laughed. She said, I'm past childbearing age, and me, an old woman, I'm going to have a baby. And she started laughing, and God heard her and said, why is Sarah laughing? And she said, I'm not laughing. Let me know you can't lie to God. But the Bible says, she did believe it, so at some point she started really believing, and they stood in faith, and even though Abraham was 100 and she was 90, God kept his word, and they had that baby. But Paul says the way he got the baby was no unbelief or distrust. He wouldn't allow it. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. Every time he shook hands with someone and said, my name is Abraham, he's testifying to them that he believes that he is going to be a father of many nations. And at that point, he and Sarah do not have any children. Now, that's what I call living by faith. Remove all questions and ifs and believe the word. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We must confess our faith or speak our faith without wavering. And do not deny the promises you have, the no-so faith you have with your tongue. That's the way you throw it away, is speaking contrary to your word, to your faith. You won't hear me say, I'm sick. I don't lie, but I will say, you know, with his stripes, I'm healed. Why say any more? Well, I won't be honest. Well, really what you want, I'm sorry, is I don't be ugly or mean, but it's just sympathy. That's why you got to keep saying it. You know, people feel sorry for you and pity you. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry you feel bad. I'd rather be healed. So I just say, with his stripes, I'm healed. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians 10:13. You see, it's talking about, implies God. God with the temptation will also make the way of escape. We can trust his promise. And some people live in fear of making a big mistake and messing everything up or falling in sin and all these things. You can trust God that he will help you and always make a way of escape no matter what hits you. Can you say amen? But you need to stay prayed up, fasted up, churched up, and be in the right place. But when temptation comes, stand strong. See, my God is going to make a way out of this. And temptation is not necessarily to do a sin. Sometimes it's just temptation to doubt God about your healing. I'm not giving to this temptation. These symptoms are terrible. This pain is awful. But I am not giving in to temptation to throw away my confidence in my healer. Got to make a way out of this somehow. You see, we must not focus on what we see with the natural eye, but focus on the Word of God. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the quote I started with from Paul. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If Christ is living in you, then it's a lot easier to live by faith because he's in you. And he will lead you and guide you and direct you. And he'll even give you words that will give you faith for healing and deliverance. Somebody say amen. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He lives in me and I trust him to protect me from the inside out. Listen, the creator of the universe lives in me. What is that? That's faith. I believe that. And when things are going bad, I have a hard time, but I repent and say, no, Lord, I really believe that you live in me, and therefore I can live by faith in you. You're right here. So we live by faith in Jesus Christ living in us and by his rhema word, the revelation that God gives us, just like he gave Peter of who Jesus really is. It may be that a lot of us need a fresh new revelation of who Jesus really is. Isaiah 43, verse 11, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That is my faith. That's what I believe. Whatever God calls me to do, no matter how bad it looks, man, this is just a wilderness. This is a desert. What in the world am I going to do? I believe that he's going to make a way. That's my faith. Somebody say amen. We all need to get to that point to where we really have that kind of faith. Well, where'd you get that faith? Well, I got that faith from Isaiah 43:19. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I was reading that and it just lit up. And I believe it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. That's where we really mess up. You start, oh, look what happened. We start living by what's happening. Why did Peter sink on the water? Jesus said, come, and he got out of that boat because Jesus told him to get out of the boat. Come. He was walking on the water by faith until he started looking at the wind, the waves, the storm. Keep your eyes off the wind and the waves and the storm and the problems and the symptoms and stay focused on your word. I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Somebody say amen. Amen. Faith is the spiritual insight that comes from God's Word and the Holy Spirit revelation. Just like Peter had insight into who Jesus Christ was, you can have insight into God's promises and into Jesus Christ himself, who he really is in you. Living by faith means we're looking at the promises of God rather than the problems. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What's unseen? The promise that God has made you, you don't see it yet. And that's what I focus on. With his stripes, I'm healed. May not look healed, but that's, I focus right on that, and I will not look to the left or the right. I am healed. And it's going to manifest, and I'm going to come through that door and preach. Been doing it for 42 years. Well, not that door, but other doors. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We focus. See, we have a real part in this. Well, I can't help worry. If you would do what he says to do, get the Word of God and focus on it, you can stop worrying about everything. And when you do get worried and get fearful, you can meditate on the Word until you get rid of the fear, because your faith starts really believing that word again. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. I mean, I have things hit me and turn me upside down just like you do, but I got to get my orientation and get refocused on the Word of God, and then I'm okay. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We focus on the unseen promises, not on the symptoms and the circumstances. With his stripes, I am healed. I focus on that. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I focus on that. We live in a very difficult day. Everybody's talking about food shortages and everything else. My God is going to supply my need no matter what problems hit this country. If he can feed the birds, he can feed this big bird. Can you say amen? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. But that's where you got to get focused and believe that. Elisha had his eyes fixed on angels he could not see. His servant looked out the window, and here come an army to arrest Elijah. Elisha. And he wasn't worried at all. But the servant was having a panic attack. 2 Kings 6:16, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Elisha answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant looked at him and says, 1, 2. And Elisha said, God, you're just going to have to show him. He's not really tuned into spiritual things. And so God opened his spiritual eyes and he could see chariots of fire all around Elisha, and they had to be driven by angels. Can you say amen? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Do you believe angels is watching over you? Yes or no? And Psalm 91, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And sometimes we just have to pray that for ourselves. Lord, open my eyes so I can really see. His servant saw angels and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha had Holy Spirit revelation that the angels were there. He was confident that they were there, even though human eye, including his own, could see them. It had to be a revelation from God, but he had the faith they were there. But he could not see them with human eyesight. Psalm 91, once again, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. By faith, I have angels around me that I've never seen, and they're working to keep me healthy, well, and blessed and highly favored, even to help me be healed. It's true, I've never seen an angel personally, except Dottie, she's an angel. I need to make up a little ground here. But you've heard the story. I had rosacea. My face was swollen way out to here. The only way I could get it down was go to a dermatologist and get a cortisone shot. And he did that several times. But I was praying that God would heal me. He said, you'll never be healed of this. You're going to have to rest your life. But I was at Shakertown. Don and I went there for 2 or 3 days, just right after a big fast, just to, you know, spend a little time with each other, get refocused on things, and so, and rest a little bit. And I was up in the middle of the night splashing cold water on my face. And because my face was burning like fire, I went back to bed, fell asleep, and Dottie woke me up crying. I've told you this several times, but I'm talking about things you don't see. They're there. Amen. Living by faith. Amen. And Dottie saw an angel, and I don't know what the angel did. I don't know the purpose. I don't know if the angel's praying. I don't need to know. Well, what do you think that was? I think I'm healed. That's all I need to think. That's all I need to think. I'm amazing Christian. I got to always explain everything. Oh, this and that. Hey, just thank God you healed and delivered and believe God and quit all this foolishness. And that was in February 2011. And 2012, I let her do the Sunday night service, and she was sharing about seeing that angel. And it had been 1 year, and I had not noticed. I had no flare up of rosacea. Praise God. Somehow, that angel was sent by God to help me. And God let Dottie see it so I would know. That God took care of it. Yes. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure. Bing. Is it okay to say bingo? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is the NIV translation from, like the King James says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See how those two scriptures say the same thing, but it's saying in different ways that make you think. Now, faith is being sure. I'm sure that the healer lives in me, and he's going to keep on healing me every time the devil tries to attack me. Can you say amen? I'm sure of that. Why? It's in me. What is in you? Matthew 8:16-17 is in me. Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that when he came, he'd take our infirmities and our sicknesses. And then the word that he added to it, do you believe I'm still here? Yes. Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? Yes. Do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? You know what? I believe he's standing right here right now to take anything the devil tries to put on me. But sometimes it's a fight. He ain't putting that on me. I know you can laugh at me, but I'm healthy and well. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith has been sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so faith is not walking around in the dark. It's being certain even though you can't see. We are seeing by revelation and insight from God's word, just like Peter. The way Peter knew who Jesus was, you and I can know the will of God and know what God has for us in every situation by his revelation into our inner man. We are seeing by revelation and insight from God's word, not by the physical eye. Faith is being sure in your heart. Just like you know in your heart you're saved and born again, you can know in your heart you're healed. Revelation 13:5, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you? Assuredly not. The Lord spoke that to me in about 1985. We had just moved in this building. And sometimes you get a prophet that ain't a prophet, or he goofs up or something. And he made some statement that this church was going to die because of something, I don't know. And it really shook me up. And I went and began to pray and seek God. And I just came across this scripture. And the Lord said to me, and God himself hath said, I will not fail thee, nor give thee up, nor leave thee without support. I will not in degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. And I've lived by that now, what's that, almost 40 years. God's not going to let me down. And sometimes I've just been a goofball. And don't you be asking Dottie anything. You just stay away from her. But at the same time, God's taking care of me anyway. Why? Because he gave me that word. Do you pray and seek God that he gives you a word, or you just keep walking around in the dark? That's what fasting and praying is about. Well, I don't need to fast. If you're walking around the dark and you don't have any revelations from God about healing or anything else, you need to do something. For he, God himself, has said, you see how I'm giving you scriptures that God has used to change my life. And it's not because I'm something special. It's because I spend a lot of time fasting and praying and meditating on God's word. And still, not nearly enough, but more than a lot of most preachers, I'd say. This is our faith. Never doubt it. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. This was Joshua's promise, Joshua 1:5. Here it is. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He told Joshua that, and he's told me the same thing. And he wants to tell you the same thing. You may not be a preacher, but most of you have some kind of job, workplace, business, and you need to know this. Can you say amen? You need to hear God say to you through this scripture in some way, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So now let's look at Joshua 6:2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands. I'm showing you how God did it. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. They're right there, they're yours. Well, from Joshua's position, he couldn't see victory. He could just see these people armed to the teeth behind these big walls. But God says, I've given it to you. And he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And he said, no man will be able to hinder you or stop you. Now I need you to go in there and take that land. Joshua had a word. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You may not look like it, Joshua, but I've given them to you. So Joshua had a word from God that he'd never leave him nor forsake him, that he'd go with him no matter what. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, and this shall you do 6 days. Now, he had a promise, but he had to do something. Faith without action is dead. Faith without works is dead. When God tells you to do something, you got to make a big effort to do it. God told me and Dad to come start this church, but he didn't start by himself. We had to load the U-Haul and come. Faith, living by faith. Y'all see, it really gets right down to where life is. If it doesn't work, you're going to die. I mean, we had a little baby come here by faith. If God hadn't helped us, we could have starved to death. But I knew I heard from God. Verse 4, But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then they, verse 5, when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. And he had all the people with him. I'm assuming even the women and everybody was out there with him, you know, walking around those walls. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight before him. Everyone had to have faith to believe such a crazy battle plan. Just walk around the walls, and they'll fall down. Have you ever heard of a battle plan any crazier than that? God said it. It doesn't matter how crazy it sounds if you know God said it. He's saying this is exactly what happened. This is called living by faith. Joshua said, this is what God said. They all believed him. They walked around those walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days. The seventh day they went around them seven times, blew the trumpets, let out the shout, and the walls fell down, and the people walked right in and took it. That's the way faith works. He had a word from God. He didn't just go and said, this would be a good city to conquer today. You know, Dottie called me, and Dottie came here and started through the church. We had such great success that a lot of other preachers just came and said, well, Barry did it, we're going to do it. And they're gone because God didn't call them. There was no way they could know those walls were going to fall in the natural, but in their heart they believed it. But when they acted on God's word, even though those walls were, there's no way to penetrate those walls, they fail. You see, we can walk in perfect peace by walking in faith. Don't you worry about the walls. He'll take them down. He says, there's no way Dottie and I could have known that we would have a physical building and a physical church in Knoxville, but we had it in here, and we loved the U-Haul and came 4.5 years in the Ramada Inn, and look around. This thing's worth probably $20, $25 million. Michelle Carroll, she was here in the church for a long time. She was in the military, and they sent her to Iraq in the very worst part of it. I mean, the vehicles would just be driving along. They'd be blown totally to pieces. People's legs and arms blowed off. Many of them killed by these things. And I asked we stayed in contact with her while she was there. And we'd pray for her and stuff. And so when she got back, I said, well, were you safe? Oh, yeah. And God took care of you? Yeah. And you felt safe? Yeah. And then I got talking to her in a little more detail, and she said, we'd be driving along, and we'd be a little convoy, you know, several vehicles. My vehicle will go right over this spot. The next vehicle come across it and be blown up. She said, I was safe. When she first said it, I thought she meant she was in a safe part of Iraq where there weren't any bombs. As far as I know, there wasn't any such place. She was safe because she was resting in Jesus Christ, trusted him to take care of her. And no matter how many people blew up around her, she was safe. And to this day, she's still a part of this church. She's still writing us, still sending money to this church. I think she's in Germany right now, still in the military. But this is her church, and we're still praying for her and believing God for her. She's a miracle walking, talking woman. I think her last rank was major or something. I don't know what it is now. Maybe General Carroll. You know, thank you, Michelle Carroll. But she is something. And one of these days, she's going to be back here. Amen. We're praying her back. Can you say amen? And this has been going on for years. I mean, man, she first came here, I don't know, 25 years ago or something. But, boy, she has had a record. You know, people blown up all around her, and she's just grinning. But isn't that what it says? 1,000 shall fall at thy side. What is that? It's faith. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 are right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. In many cases in America now, people are living in war zones. You need to learn to live like this. Hebrews 11:6. I believe God has sent me here for such a day as this to get us ready so we can walk through anything. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is believing in God and believing that he rewards fasting and praying and meditating on the word. He honors those and rewards those who do the word. That's what that means. Read again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him by praying and fasting and meditating on the word to hear his voice. Those who do not live by faith cannot please God. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith automatically looks past the giants to the throne of grace because he's right there to help us. Can you say amen? The Israelites who died in the wilderness missed their promised land because they did not believe God to give them the promised land, so they refused to go in. In other words, they cast away their faith, they cast away their confidence and cried and wound up in the wilderness 40 years till they died. Boy, there's a lot of Christians right now in 40 years of wilderness. Their lives are going to be wasted, not accomplish anything. They might make it to heaven, but because they didn't have faith to trust God, they're just wandering around. But Joshua and their children believed God and took their promised land. You see, when we are faced with a giant, we need to focus on a promise from God's word. Believe that word regardless of how bad the situation looks. The children of Israel had a word. I've given you that land. Go in and take it. Never mind the giants. Never mind the walled cities. Never mind the armor. Go in and take it. And they said, we can't do it. Dot and I could have said, we can't start a church in Knoxville. But we realized we didn't have any choice. Either obey or disobey. W.L. Rogers and his wife started 2 or 3 churches. And I think when they started, they started Evangel, where we were associate pastor there. And they told this story about eating oatmeal. They didn't have anything to eat but oatmeal for what, 5 or 6 weeks? It's 2 or 3 weeks. And Fern, W.L.'s wife, Bob Rogers' mother, she learned how to make oatmeal patties, oatmeal gravy, made everything out of oatmeal. And when I told Dottie, I believe God has called us to Knoxville to start a church, she said, I don't like oatmeal. That sounds good.